So we're going to sing our hymn, which is God Loves You and I Love You, and that's the way it should be. And after this, then we go out to Jigsaw and Blast and Tots. So Tots again, committee room. Anybody under five? Jigsaw, primary school in the Rowan Hall. Anyone in secondary school up to the youth room? All right, so we sing God Loves You and I Love You, and the words will be on the screen. Community notices, which are now going to take place at this part of the service, just so that children have long enough in Jigsaw and Blast to do their lessons. And so I come to the community notices. You will have noticed, I'm sure, on the notices that I have to announce the death of one of our members. Mrs. Ruth Hood, née Galbraith, passed away on Wednesday, and her funeral service took place in First Oma on Friday. Please remember her husband Francis, her mum Serena, and her sisters Joanna, Patricia, Silma, and Heather, and all their families in your thoughts and prayers. I want to draw your attention to a service tonight, which is Cafe Malawi service. It'll be held in the Rowan Hall, and it'll give us an opportunity to hear about Isabel, Janice's, Catherine's, Emma's and Davy's trip to Mbangweni in the summertime. It will be an informal service in the Rowan Hall, and everyone is welcome to come and find out about the trip and also to discover how God is at work in Malawi. And please do invite any of your friends who you know have an interest in the work that we are doing there. I'd now like to invite Margaret Cummings to come forward as she has an announcement to bring to you.
This is about PW. I'm known as a bit of a pest around the church sometimes, especially when it comes to PW, but I believe that if you don't invite people, well, they're not going to come unless I invite them. So I'm going to tell you a bit about it. PW is for all women of all ages and all stages of life. We come together to learn and grow in our faith through fun and through fellowship. We emphasise God's faithfulness and his love for everyone. We support the work of the Council of Mission in Ireland by helping to fund deaconess training. We also support global mission by raising funds to support our missionaries. This year, our theme is Restore, one of God's many promises that he will restore us. I've been handing out leaflets this morning to individuals, and if you haven't had one from me, it's because I actually ran out of leaflets. I didn't plan that so well, but you are very welcome. We meet on the second Tuesday of the month, September to April inclusive. I'd love to see new people coming along, and even if you don't decide to actually become a member, you'd be very welcome to come to the odd or individual meeting or something that you decide that would interest you. Our first meeting will be this Tuesday night coming, with Brian Duncan talking about snowdrops and daffodils. And in May, we plan an outing. Every year, you probably all realise, we organise a fundraiser. This year, we're holding a coffee morning on Saturday, the 19th of October, which we hope you will all support. And that's just not the women, but also the men. All our meetings last just over an hour, and of course, we always finish with a wee cup of tea. So please consider coming along this year. And if anyone would like to come along but doesn't want to go out and then at night on their own or want to travel, I'd be happy to arrange transport if you want to speak to me. And finally, one other thing. A little reminder that in your envelope pack, there is PW envelope. You may have already filled it in and handed it in, but if you haven't, we'll be very happy to receive your money. And we thank you for your continued generosity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Margaret, and thank you to all those on the PW committee who organised such an interesting programme and ensure that everybody who comes will receive a warm welcome. And they also support the missionaries of our church in prayer and through their finances. So let's come now before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the faith which unites us together as a family of brothers and sisters here in this church. We pray for every family connected with our church congregation. We pray for families with young children. We ask, O Lord, that parents would receive wisdom and confidence and energy as they seek to provide stable, loving homes for their children to grow and mature in safety and security. We pray for our children as they begin to make their way in the world from tiny babies to toddlers, to heading off to school and on to university and the working world. As they begin each new stage in their young lives, we pray, O Lord, that they would know that they are deeply loved by their families, by this congregation, and by their Heavenly Father, who knit them together in their mother's womb and who knows them by name. We pray for families where children have grown and flown the nest, settling into careers, relationships, and homes of their own. Help them to adjust to the changes that this brings to their own lives, and help them to continue to support and guide their adult children, whether they live close by or further afield. We pray for those who live on their own, whether they are young, middle-aged, or entitled to a free bus pass. We pray that they would know the love and support of their wider family and friendship circles, and the care and support of their church family. We pray for those within our church family who are going through difficult times at the moment, those who have been bereaved, like the Galbraith and Hood families this week, those who are caring for elderly or sick relations, those who are battling sickness themselves, or coping with a change in life situation or circumstance. We ask, O Lord, that they would know the touch of your Holy Spirit, bringing healing and wholeness and hope, and that they would receive encouragement and support from their church family during these challenging times. We pray for those who have a strong faith in you as Saviour and Lord, and we ask that they would continue to grow in faith as they seek to serve you in the congregation, in the local community, and in the world. We pray for those who are struggling with faith, and we ask that you would grant them an awareness of your love for them, time to reflect upon the things of God through reading your word, through prayer, and through chatting to others about faith. We give thanks once again for the unity of your church through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and we ask that you would hear our prayer as we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught his followers to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we sing our next hymn, which again is a continuation of a prayer to God for those whom we love dearly and for the lives that we will lead as we leave this place. So we stand to sing the prayerful hymn 556, Father, we place into your hands. September birthdays to come forward to do our scripture reading. Jack Swan is going to read for us Mark chapter 1 verses 29 to 34, and this can be found on page 46 of the Bibles in the pews.
Jesus and his disciples, including James and John, left the synagogue and went straight to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever, and as soon as Jesus arrived, he was told about her. He went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. After the sun had set and evening had come, people brought to Jesus all the sick and those who had demons. All the people of the town gathered in front of the house. Jesus healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases and drove out many demons. He would not let the demons say anything because they knew who he was.
Well, today's service, in case you haven't guessed, the theme is family and that family matters. And here we have on the screen a family. It's a typical family. I've just noticed that it has four grandparents, two parents, and two children, one I think possibly of each sex. But anyway, we know that families don't necessarily always reflect that particular balance. But families are important, aren't they? They're very important to us. The family that we were raised in, the family that we currently live with. And so it is important that we think about the whole subject of family in the light of our worship of God. Because it was God who created families in the first place. It was his design that we would live together with one another in close family units. Right from the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, we read that therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So there, right at the very beginning of the time when men and women lived on this earth, God had it designed that each adult would have their own unique family setting. That when they found their partner in life, they would marry and they would commit to one another, leaving the parental homes and forging a new unit in their own home. So therefore, there we have an example of how God had designed for us a family life, husbands and wives together. And he also designed that we would have children. And it says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. And we have been really richly blessed by the children being with us this morning. But I know that the blessing in your lives is much richer with the children that the Lord has bestowed on you. Whether that be your own children, whether it be your nephews and nieces, as in my case, or whether it would be your grandchildren to the next generation. They are a gift from the Lord and a reward from him, and we rejoice in his goodness to us. We also have parents. We've all had our parents. Some of us have got on better with them than possibly others have. With those of you who are parents can possibly appreciate some of the difficulties that you gave to your mum and dad as you were growing up, and to bear that in mind when you're dealing with your own children in the world today. But one of the commandments of God is that we are to honour our fathers and mothers, so that we will live a long life in the land that God is giving to us. So we see here that family matters. We are responsible to care and love our parents for all that they have given to us. We are to care for the children that God has given to us. We are to love and support our husband or our wife if we are blessed with that. And we also see that family matters for all generations. It tells us in Psalm 103, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. And so there we see the Lord's blessing and his love, not just on us in our generation, but on the generation that will follow after us and the generation that will follow after that, for all those who seek to fear the Lord and to obey his ways. So we have a challenge in our families. We can decide whether or not to follow in God's ways. And a verse that often comes to mind when I think about the families of faith, it's the one in Joshua 24, where Joshua says, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And I hope that it is the case for each one of you gathered here today, that as you seek to live in whatever family situation or circumstance you currently find yourselves in, that you will know that you are part of that wonderful human family, and you're also part of God's family, and that you will make the choice to serve the Lord as you raise your family, as you watch over your family as they raise their own young ones. And we pray that you will know the Lord's blessing in your family and also in your faith life as you live in covenant community with one another. And I was very blessed to have a family that I grew up in. My family, it's going to appear on the screen. I'm not quite sure if you can make me out. I'm sort of blotted by my baby brother. And I have three brothers, Martin, then Ian in the middle, and then Colin, who's sitting on my knee. And I'm the second eldest of the four children. And we had a very joyous and a happy childhood. This picture was taken at Downhill Domain in July 1972. We spent many a happy summer holiday there, and it was only this morning as I was reviewing over the slides that I realised that my fashion sense hasn't changed, because I was wearing flowery, bright flowery trousers, and I'm wearing a bright flowery dress this morning, and I was wearing denim shoes, and I'm wearing denim shoes this morning. That wasn't planned. There are also lovely sunny highlights in my hair, but they were natural. These ones aren't. But most things have remained the same. But it was a real joy to be part of my family's life and to know the love and the support of my parents and my grandparents. And also as I grew up alongside my three brothers, and I was looking at some quotes about families, because families are not perfect. No family is, and mine certainly wasn't. And this quote I thought was pretty good. It says, "Families are messy. Immortal families are eternally messy. Sometimes the best we can do is to remind each other that we're related, for better or for worse, and try to keep the maiming and the killing to a minimum." Well, my poor mum had her work cut out for her, as she had three boisterous boys and one very boisterous daughter. And we were often getting into tussles. And thankfully, we didn't actually go too far in... well, we didn't kill one another, but I was the cause of Martin getting run over by a car, but that's another story. But I was very, very, very sorry that I had called him over the road at the wrong time. He only injured his ankle, thankfully. But there were many scrapes that we got into. And this other quote was, "We cannot destroy kindred. Our chains stretch a little sometimes, but they never break." And that's what's so powerful, isn't it, about families. We may not always disagree with, we may not always agree with one another. We may often disagree, and we may even disagree on fundamental things. But we're still related to one another. We still work through the tension and keep those bonds from breaking. And dysfunctional families, it's not just the Nelson family that's dysfunctional. It's also the families that we find in the scriptures. They're all dysfunctional. They all have problems. Cain murdered his brother Abel. Jacob stole Esau, his brother's birthright. Joseph's brothers were so jealous of him that they sold him into slavery. King David's sons rebelled against him. Yet despite all these dysfunctional families, warring wives, sister-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, I need to include the women there, just realised I've only given male examples, but okay. But you know, so these warring wives, despite all that God has given to us and gifted to us, we will be dysfunctional. But God will be at work in our families, in our midst, bringing about his goodness and his purpose for our lives. We just have to be aware of his presence with us and listen to him and trust in him for the future. And so we pass forward about 48 years, to the next picture of family. And this was taken this summer in July, again on the north coast at the golf final. And there's my baby brother that I bounced on my knee on my right-hand side, and my older brother down there at the back. My middle brother wasn't able to be there, so he's not present, but in amongst that motley crew are my nephews and my nieces. And it is so lovely to see how families can grow and develop and change over time. And it's true, they say, that home is where you're loved the most and can act the worst. So I'm very grateful that my brothers and my nephews and nieces aren't present here today to be able to tell you just how bad I can be at times. But I know that I am deeply loved by them and love them in return. And it is a joy to be part of that wider family network. And so we rejoice in the gift of God's gift to us, in the gift of our families. But as well as our biological families, the families that we grew up in, we're also part of a church family. And here you see the picture of the church that I attended as a young child. I was baptised here in Rosemary Presbyterian Church on the North Circular Road. And I attended there regularly and faithfully as a child and as a teenager and then on into my adult years. And I was very blessed to be part of this church family and to know that as well as being part of the Nelson family in North Belfast, I was also part of the Rosemary Presbyterian Church family, part of God's family and part of his kingdom. I learnt a lot from the people that I got to know there in that church as they drew alongside me as I matured as a young child into a teenager and on into young adulthood. They were with us in times of challenge as a family and also as a church and as a community living in North Belfast through those times of the Troubles. There are many people there that I am very grateful for and who have nurtured me in the Christian faith and who have walked alongside me as I have sought to follow Jesus every day of my life. And I have attended that church in Rosemary Presbyterian mainly on my own since I became an adult. So I know what it's like to be a single person in a church family situation. And it's not always easy, I have to say, to be single amongst the majority of people who are married and many of whom then also have children, though not everyone is blessed with that either. But I always felt that I was with family when I went into church. I could sit in any pew in the church and know that I was welcomed by the people who were sitting there and that they had an interest and a concern in my life. And it meant a huge amount to me as an individual, and particularly to someone who was single, because you don't have that nurturing family around you in the pew, although I did have it around me at home, and I'm grateful for it. But I would challenge those of you who are married and who maybe take for granted the joy that you have in that position, and with the children, if the Lord has blessed you with children. And I would ask you to think about those in our congregation who are single and who might find it more difficult when the word family is mentioned. For those who are on their own, for those who are single, for those who are widowed, for those who are divorced, for those who are the only member of their family to come to church, make them welcome. Make them feel included. Jesus himself was single, as was the Apostle Paul, who advocated that it was the best way to live the Christian life. So the Lord calls us in our situation, some to be married and to have children, some to live a single life. But we're all part of God's family, and Psalm 68 tells us that God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widow. God sets the lonely in families, and he leads out the prisoners with singing. So we are to be a church community that welcomes others, that helps others to find their place in the family of God. And so we turn to this church family, which became my church family, on the 7th of September 2012, which was 7 years ago yesterday. Where have those 7 years gone? They have been wonderful 7 years, filled with joy and also with challenges, sharing wonderful events with you through family baptisms and weddings and funerals, learning to grow in the faith myself alongside others through our Bible studies, through our prayer meetings, through those session and congregational committee meetings that I know you think are endless, but I do believe they are necessary for us to work together as a church community. The times of celebration when we came together for auctions and quizzes and concerts, for the opportunities we had to reach out to the community through Holiday Bible Club, through Coffee Stop, through the big walks. Life in all its joys and sorrows. And God has been there in the midst of these 7 years, shaping and honing each of us individually into the people that he wants us to be, myself included, as well as shaping and honing us as a family of God's people who worship here in First Oma and who live in this local community, seeking to be Christ's witnesses to those around us. September is a new season, a time for new beginnings, a time of blessing and the season of harvest. And it is such a joy to see seeds that were sown long ago, long before I was ever around, coming into fruition now. It's a joy to see new seeds being planted, fresh prayers being offered, new ministries beginning, new areas of service being explored. And I pray that the next 7 years, in fact the next 70 years, if the Lord permits us, those will be a time of continued growth and blessing in this congregation, in the midst of the storms that will inevitably come our way. But as the farmers do keep telling me, without the rain and the sunshine, there would be no crops. They need them both, just right in the right measure. And we trust and pray that the Lord will give us this in the right measure, that we would continue to grow and be a blessing to one another and to him as we walk side by side with the Lord. So to finish, I have one final slide that just helps us to see how we are part of God's family. We will see different verses from Scripture appearing, and I'll speak briefly to each one of those. The first one is that family matters. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 34, which Jack read for us. Here we see that Jesus left the synagogue, left his place of worship, and was invited into the home of Simon Peter. So we see the continuity of the time when you're together in worship and the time when you're outside of worship, when you're living out in the community. And Jesus was welcomed into the home of Simon Peter and of Andrew. In those days, families lived together, many families together, under the one roof, unlike ourselves where we all separate off into individual homes. And when Jesus came into this family home, perhaps, I'm sure, for a meal, they discovered that Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. We don't know the name of Simon's mother-in-law. I do wish that the disciples had noted the names of these women, who often are only referred to, attached to whatever meal they're connected with, but that is a sign of the times. But anyway, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. Now, Jesus could just have said, "Oh, well, I'm very sorry. I find that you're in a difficult situation. I'll excuse myself and I'll take myself on down to James and John's house because, you know, I'll be able to get dinner there and I don't want to be an inconvenience." He didn't do that, did he? As soon as he heard, he went straight to her, took her hand and helped her up. He showed compassion and kindness and caring. He was willing to be present in that family in the midst of their time of need. And he, as God's precious son, was able to bring healing to the mother-in-law, so that she was able to go and give him his dinner. And to do and to serve Christ, she was restored to health so that she was able to do that. So what part can you play in the family life of this church community? You can welcome people into your home for hospitality, and I'm so grateful for the many meals that I have shared with you over these years, casual meals and proper formal meals, the sandwich on the side of the hillside under the tree because it was raining on our big walks, opportunities for us to draw alongside one another. Can you do something to continue that sense of hospitality within this congregation? Not to me, I don't want to hold no dinner invitations to me, but think about to other people. How could you show hospitality to others and include them in something as simple as a meal, if that's the gift that you've been given? It's not my gift, for sure. I'm not a great cook. But Jesus also came in the midst of suffering and trial. How can we draw alongside those who are sick and going through difficult times? We can do that when we know one another well, and we can do that when we have compassion and care and are willing to step out and to offer our help and our support. So I hope that in this new season of new beginnings, you will be able to see ways in which the Lord could use you to show that this family here in First Oma matters. And not just the people who gather here, but the people who are unable to come to church and those who do not wish to come to church. In what ways can we show the welcome, the hospitality, the care and the compassion of Jesus? Because that's what we're called to do by God. In our passage in Isaiah 43, we learn that God calls us by name and he loves us. He calls us to be his people. He calls us to follow him. As we said with the children, he says that I have summoned you by name and you are mine. The Lord knows our names. We now know the names of the children who were sitting in the front pew. But I wonder, do you know the names of everyone in this church? Or even the people that sit beside you Sunday by Sunday, or sit behind you or in front of you? I grew up in the Rosemary Presbyterian Church, and so there were people that I was never introduced to because I grew up as a child, and so my parents just assumed that I knew who these older people were, but I hadn't got a clue who these older people were. And I knew one man, he was Mr. Love, he was our Sunday school teacher, and I was doing a crusade, a Billy Graham crusade, with him. We were going round different doors, knocking on doors and inviting people to come to hear Billy Graham preaching. And I was partnered with Mr. Love, and I said, "Oh, hello, Mr. Love." And he said to me, "Jane, are you calling me Mr. Love or out of respect? Or is it because you don't really believe that somebody could be called Horace?" I said, "My name is Horace." I was 25 or 6 at the time. He said, "Please just call me Horace." And so I got to know Horace and his wife Isabel very much indeed. And they were a great support and encouragement to me. So, it's over to you. You're sitting in a pew beside people. You probably know them very well, because often you sit in the same pew. You do know them. You could be brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, sons and daughters. But I want to just take a little moment, turn around, person behind you, person in front of you, and I want you to introduce yourself. Now, you might think this is a bit stupid because, like, they already know that I'm Miss Hodge, or they already know that I'm Davy Bowman. Why do I need to introduce myself? But sometimes if you've never been given permission to call somebody by their first name, you don't want to do it, do you? You'd rather be given permission. So say something like, "Hi, I'm Jane." Well, don't say Jane, because that's not your name, but whatever your name is. "Hi, I'm Jane. I don't know your first name," if that's the case. Or you could say, "Hi, I'm Jane. How are you doing today, David?" Because you know that that person's name is David. Okay? So either you know them or you don't know them, or you can mix it up so that you can pretend that you do know them when you don't know them. Whatever. Just, "Hi, I'm Jane." Let them know who your name is, and then some little thing to find out who they are. So a few minutes, off you go.
Thank you.
buns are burnt whenever you go home today. It's not my fault. Thank you so much for participating in that. What I would like to encourage you to do is please do that every week. Try to speak to somebody different every week. We always do the same thing, sit in the same places. I'm not going to ask you to change where you sit, but maybe if you come in early and you're able to go and chat to somebody that you don't know very well, be the brave one and be the one that's willing to reach out and say, "Hi, my name is, how are you doing today?" And hopefully we'll get to know each other that little bit better. And who knows how the Lord will bless us on the way. So we find out from Jesus that family matters, that the situations in our families matter to him, and that they should matter to us as his followers. We also have discovered that God has called us by name to be part of his family and to be part of this church family here today. And then we also find that we are united together in Christ. It is through our faith in Christ that we become family members here in this church. We're not all, although most of you seem to be, related by blood in Oma. But, you know, we are related to one another through the blood of Christ. Through the sacrifice that he made on the cross at Calvary, we are united together as brothers and sisters through our faith in him. He is the one who joins us together. He is the one who binds us together so that we operate like a family, building one another up in love and doing whatever tasks he has called us to do. So I hope that we will be willing to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and to trust in him and to allow him to direct and to guide our lives as individuals and as family members and as people of this community, that people will look at us and know that we are Jesus followers because we show a family resemblance. And then finally, we are part of the family of God because God loves us. He's the one who initiated it all in the first place. In 1 John chapter 3, he tells us, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. When we accept the love of God, when we accept the salvation offered by Jesus Christ, then we are children of God. God will always love us whether we respond to him or not. But we only become part of the family of God when we receive his love as a gift and when we receive the salvation that his Son offers to us through his sacrifice on the cross. And what a privilege to be known as a son and daughter of the King, and to be able to call Jesus Christ our brother. In Ephesians 1, chapter 5, it says, "As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ." God decided in advance, before he knew who we were even were, before we knew who we were, to adopt us into his family through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. And I trust and pray that that's what will guide us and lead us in this new year and in this new season as a family of Jesus followers in First Oma, living in the community of Oma in the country of Northern Ireland, in the United Kingdom, perhaps for now, maybe forever, who knows. Certainly, we don't even know if we'll be in Europe, but what we do know is we will always be in God's family. We will always be part of his kingdom, and we can trust and place our faith in him for all that we need. Amen. And so, in response to the word of God, which you have heard read and preached, we bring to God our offerings. Father God, we thank you for calling us into your family and to be a part of this congregation here in First Oma. And we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our offerings, as our thanksgiving to you for all that you have given to us in Jesus Christ, and that you would shape and fashion us into his image so that we can share his love and invite others into the kingdom through faith in him. This we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. So we finish this service with a hymn of celebration, a hymn that is based on Psalm 23, to know that we are the Lord's and that we can trust in him whatever our situation and our circumstance. So we sing 527, "The Lord's My Shepherd."